Thank you for downloading the Flixsters podcast. On this week's episode, then Abigail reveals herself basically. They kind of go to her and she just Abigails herself and they're just like, ah! And that's the first moment I sort of realized this is like a horror comedy, because I didn't realize the certain parts are a little bit funny before that, but then it's like she's playing with them so much.
No siree. And you know what ain't going away either, which is coming back, which I found really interesting. The truth is out there, Deval. So X-Files, we're fans, huge fans of the show. I remember back in the and we're live. We're back. I'm back, you're exactly. Back, we're back again. Finally. Man,
I'm finally
come back. So listen, for everyone that doesn't know, I was basically in I was back home in the UK, and actually the sad thing is good things, great things, and there's actually kind of like, you know, not so great things, because I went back to England, went back home, and unfortunately, Deval and I, we didn't get to do a live show, but we did meet up. So that was, for me, that was like a massive highlight for me.
Cinco años, eh?
Deval, that night that we met up, man, it was brilliant. It was a great laugh. We met up last Tuesday, was it? No, was it last Tuesday?
I think it was 2 weeks ago now. Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago. And then it was just great seeing you, great seeing Marcel. I hadn't seen Marcel.
You looked at me, I was like, have you grown? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm growing out. I'm not growing up.
Bro, I'm not even joking, man. Like, seriously, it was like the big green giant or something. Like, you know, this guy is like growing and growing and growing. But no, it was really, really great seeing you, Deval. Yeah, and you like I said before, man. I mean, I wish we'd have done a show, but unfortunately with the timing and everything, it just didn't happen, but I'm glad that we met up. So what are we on now? So listen, we're on episode 282.
I can't think of anything.
282. 282. Just me and you, and that's the way it is. All right, okay, so 282, we've got a great show for you today, folks. We've got a horror vibe for you. We're gonna be speaking about Abigail, which is this vampire flick which we've already spoken about on the show a couple of months ago. We saw the trailer and we were like, oh shit, this is going to be, you know, one to watch. So stick around for that one. Obviously we've got the movie news, we've got streaming, and we've got trailers. So stick with us, and you know, we'll bring you more of that. But before we do all of that stuff, Deval.
Yep. First of all, we got a shout out, and this shout out goes to our very own Yael Noir Three. So go check her out on Instagram. Again, we've had her on the show last summer. I think we did Across the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
I got a feeling we may be doing the sequel with her again, maybe this summer.
Soon.
Why not? Yep. But go check out her page. She's a really, really great person, great energy, you know, about being happy in life, you know, fitness, fun, music. She does presenting as well. So go check her out. Really, really great personality. So, yeah, big shout out to CL.
Big shout out. Yeah, brilliant. All right, okay, let's get on to movie news. And, this one's interesting, Deval, because... Mm-hmm. It's been a fair few. I've had Mad Max Fury Road, which is this mad kind of, what is his name? George Miller. I want to say George Miller, I think his name is. Yeah, George Miller, Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron. And it was kind of a reboot, a remake of, or a continuation of that kind of Mad Max trilogy that we got back in the 80s with Mel Gibson and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So really great movie. So, Deval, tell us about this one, because Furiosa is going to be coming out pretty soon, and this is a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes, that's right. So this one's coming out quite soon. I believe it is, it's during the summer anyway, so you know, we can all see it real soon. It looks like it's going to be one of those action films, And I think George Miller done this on purpose, but he's the sort of person where he wants his action films, a little bit like Christopher Nolan, he likes to use as much practical effects as possible. So obviously, we all know we're in the age of AI and tech and special effects, and it just is what it is. But some directors, some filmmakers, they want to see, they want to feel, they want to touch, and they want the audience to get that experience as well. So a little news that we heard on set, as you do, we heard there's a scene, an action scene or action sequence that lasts 15 minutes of the movie. Usually movies are about 2 hours or so, isn't it? So for 15 minutes of this movie, there's a big action sequence. And it actually took 78 days filmed.
It's mad.
And in amongst that, 200 stunt people. Lost my thought for a second. Stunt people were part of that, you know, part of that sequence, as well as the actors and other people as well. Imagine the crew as well that were involved in that. So, yeah, it's just the filmmaking process is something else. We just get to see a snippet of the outcome, but what goes into that is Devout, just.
And I recommend no green screen in this film. Exactly.
You're having a laugh, mate.
Because this director, he's like old school. You know, and taking us right there in the action. I remember, do you remember that that whole scene from the Furiosa? From the Fury Road, where this car chase scene, it felt like as if it just goes on forever and forever and forever. And I'm like, the amount of dead people, I'm surprised people weren't dead.
I reckon it'll be one of those again. It will be one of those again. I think so. I can imagine.
So keep it up with the fixes, folks. And obviously when that movie comes out, we'll bring you a review, and I'm looking forward to that one. But let's move on. Now listen, Sega fans, Sonic the Hedgehog fans, you'll be happy to know that there is definitely going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out. This is going to be part 3. We know this because at the end of the second one, there was this little bit of a teaser thing about Shadow. He's one of the characters from the games, and he's one of the characters from the Sonic Prime, the animation and everything. But the big news here is, Deval, I mean, I was surprised to read about this, but Keanu Reeves and Sonic the Hedgehog, tell us about this.
Man, yeah, Keanu Reeves is going to be showing up in the third Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and he's going to be playing a character called Shadow. I'll be honest, I played Sonic the Hedgehog when I was young on Sega Mega Drive or Sega Genesis. Yeah. I think they had a Nintendo Sega Genesis, you know, biggie line. I didn't know who Shadow was. I don't know. Shadow's probably, Shadow a baddie?
Like
sounds like
another
a baddie.
Sonic the Hedgehog, but kind of like a bad version. Well, he's kind of like a grey, like, you know, he's kind of Eve anti-hero. Anti-hero. So what I think is he's going to start off by being the villain, then turns into the kind of the goody baddie type of a person. They team up to fight Dr. Robotnik again. Yeah. So there's going to be all that. But check this out. I didn't even know this. This is kind of connected to this. There's a Knuckles TV show on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. Like, so it sounds like
so this is mad. So Paramount, clearly, they want to... They're making this a whole big universe, man.
I think all these brands, they want to create these universes where people have to repeatedly like watch the movie, watch the TV show, come to the platform. So there's a lot of this going on right now. So yeah, I think that's why there's they're expanding
gaming.
The whole IP. And also from a game as well, exactly. Gaming IPs are really lucrative.
And talking about gaming, I mean, you've put this other news on there. This is interesting because... talking about games, Minecraft. Now, were you ever into Minecraft, Deval? I wasn't.
Never. That was a reason. Over my head. That's a sort of new age. Yeah, that's new age kids, young kids.
That went
Minecraft,
over my head. Know. But the game, it was created. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was created by some guy in his bedroom, and then he sold it to Microsoft for billions. Okay. Yeah, mad, crazy story with this guy, with this kid. And now Minecraft is, you can get it on all platforms, man. PC, PlayStation, Nintendo, the whole thing. So tell us the news with this one.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Minecraft is it's a game where you can just build whatever. You go into these worlds and really young kids, they love it. They build all kinds of worlds. So from what we understand, Jack Black, you know, the Jack Black who Jumanji. We saw in what, School of Rock, Jumanji, yes. Another game, you know what I mean? he's been seen him in a bunch of stuff over the years. He's now going to be joining the cast of Minecraft. And you're thinking to yourself, if you've seen the game is blocky. Yeah. The blocky game, it's a mad game. Anything can happen. And you're thinking, how are they going to make a film out of this? Well, I'm sure they're going to do it. Because also, who else is on board? Jason Momoa. Okay.
Yep.
He's on board as well. We also got Stifler's mum.
Wow.
She's involved as well. Yep. Her name, real name is
Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge. She's got a name. Jermaine Clement, who we've seen in What We Do in the Shadows, he's in it as well. Among others. This is going to be coming out in 2025. So they're going to be building as we speak.
Interesting. So, you know, like how on Amazon we've got Fallout, which I haven't seen, by the way, but people are talking about Fallout a lot. That's another game. Good, that's another good. Game thing. Good. Sonic game, Minecraft game. This is, I think we're going to get probably another Mario Brothers. That's probably going to happen again because that did really well. I think we're just going to see more of this stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think gaming is not going away anytime
soon. No, sirree. And you know what ain't going away either, which is coming back, which I found really interesting. The truth is out there, Deval. So X-Files, we're fans, huge fans of the show. I remember back in the 90s, it just kind of... Absolutely. You can't beat it, man. There were just like so many great storylines in there. But check this out. Ryan Coogler, director of Creed... director of Black Panther, he's Fruitvale Station as well. He's making a new vampire movie with Michael B. Jordan as well. Apparently, they're working on that. Yep.
Oh.
But check this out. So the X-Files reboot is happening, and director Ryan Coogler has officially kind of attached to it, and he has Chris Carter's blessings. So apparently, Chris Carter was being spoken to, he's being interviewed. And this is what he had to say. He said he had a really nice conversation with Coogler. I just asked him what his ideas were, and he told me what those were, and they sounded like good ideas. X-Files, if you don't know, original run was 1993 to 2001, and then came back 15 years later, and it came back for two more seasons in 2016 and 2018. Yeah. So the question is on everyone's mind, are Scully and Mulder coming back?
That is a big question. I've got a funny feeling. That's what I was going to say. I reckon they might have something different lined up. I kind of feel like they've done their bit because they've come back and come back again. And a lot of people want them to be together romantically as well. I mean, I don't know, man. I kind of like X-Files how it was. They're going to do it now, but they better do a good job. Make it slightly different,
exactly,
perhaps,
because there's a lot of love that people have for that show. So they've got to make that one right. All right, that's your movie news. Let's move on to new one streaming. Now, this just popped up. I know this came out. I saw it. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know it popped up on the kind of new one Netflix, Deval. So this is Rebel Moon, The Scar Giver. Now, I still didn't even see the first one. So, you saw the first one, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, what do you reckon?
Christ, I haven't seen the new one yet. The first one was not as good as I thought it was going to be. You know, Zack Snyder, we know Zack Snyder is quite a revolutionary director, loves slow motions, all of that kind of stuff. But it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I don't know, something was lacking a little bit. Something was lacking. Maybe I think the lead done okay, but I don't know if that role, if she carried the film. I can be honest, if she carried the film well enough. But it's interesting. It's a good sci-fi. It's almost like an adult Star Wars, adult version of Star Wars. A bit like how Dune is, and Dune does so much better. But this Scar Giver, I'm going to watch it probably this weekend. It'd be next week or whatever we'll do.
Yes, then that'll give me time to watch the first one.
It's out now. Yeah.
Okay, let's keep an eye on that one. And we let you know exactly how that one pans out. Now, the next one, again, on Netflix. This is called Scoop. Now, again, I've seen this. I know what this is about. And people have been talking about this. And, you know, this is the kind of the Prince Andrew, the kind of, you know, how it all came about with this kind of paparazzi taking the picture of Prince Andrew, which then led to Jeffrey Epstein and that whole connection to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal and whatnot. This sounds interesting as well.
Yeah, this one I've actually seen, to be honest. I saw this on preview quite a while ago.
So you were at NDA on that one?
NDA. which usually means no devours allowed, but you know, in that occasion I was. But yeah, no, it's actually decent. This, like you set it up nicely, the Prince Andrew story and how they, for those that don't know, Prince Andrew, you know, he was exposed to have been getting involved sexually with young people. I think the young girl was 17 at the time. And he's obviously married and he's a royal, you know, he's cheating on his wife and stuff like that at the time, I think, and massive scandal. And this is about the interview that happened, which you can go on YouTube and find, but it's about the story of how they got the interview and all the people involved. And it's a really interesting film. Yeah, I recommend it.
I do actually want to watch it, actually. Yeah, it looks really, really decent, that. So those are your new ones streaming. Now let's check out trailers. Now this one, Trap. Deval, is this, I'm assuming, is this a horror movie?
Ooh, you assume right, but also not 100% right. So this is, I'll just start with this, Night.
Okay, now we know we're here, we're in his territory. Okay, so twists and turns.
Yeah, so Trap is, twist and turn. Trap is, it's coming out in the cinemas or in the theatres this summer. It stars Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
You know, we all know what he done last summer, don't we?
Yeah.
So Josh Hartnett, he stars, the trailer tells you this basically. So basically, Josh Hartnett is a family guy. He's got a young daughter. I think she's about 16, 15, I think, maybe slightly younger. And in the trailer, it shows him taking his young daughter to a music concert. You know, because lots of parents take their young kids to the concerts because they can't go themselves, can they? So it's him and his young daughter going to the concert, enjoying it. And then as the concert's happening, he goes to the toilet. And then as he's there, he's walking around seeing lots of police. He's like, and I start thinking in my head, obviously in the UK, Manchester, we had the bombing. Manchester
bombing. It's a bomb explosion.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, oh shit, is this like a terrorist thing? But no, he goes and asks a member of staff, says, going on, why so much police? And the staff member has a big mouth. He's like, yeah man, guess what, we heard, you know, that serial killer that's been around, that serial killer, they've set up a trap because they know he's here. And like, they're here to trap the serial killer because they know he's here. And then Josh Hartnett's like, oh okay. And then the camera then looks at his eyes and he's like,
he is that serial killer. And it's like, so they gave that away and they give it away straight away.
It seems like an interesting film. Even the way it starts, he seems like a nice family guy. He's going out with his daughter, taking selfies. And that's how these serial killers are.
They have families,
like
man.
People sometimes.
They have families. Didn't we know? Wasn't there his daughter was supposed to be like making a movie?
She is. Her film is called, is it Watchers or The Watchers? That's coming out soon. And he's got another daughter who's a singer who, incidentally, is going to be. See the concert that they're going to?
Something. Oh, gosh.
Performing, so it's all up in the family. I'm telling you.
All right, listen, that sounds interesting. I'll go check that trailer out, and we'll watch that obviously when it comes out. Now, this next one, again, expanding on universes based on a TV show, toy, game as well, most likely. This is Transformers 1. So, Deval, tell me about this one because I didn't even know we're getting another Transformers.
Mate, I didn't know we were getting one. I don't think we need one.
So what's this, a prequel? Is it like a sequel?
No, it's a prequel. Because in the trailer it says, before Optimus Prime.
Right, I gotcha.
Optimus Prime. You know, it's like a young version of them. Optimus Prime and Megatron are running around as friends in this. They're buddies. This is almost like a, you know how like Disney animation is? It's kind of like that. But it's not like anime animation. It's more like, I don't know, it's like Disney animation. Yeah. It's quite polished, you know? And it's voiceovered by
the main guys.
Brian Tyree Henry. Lawrence Fishburne's in it. I believe Thor's in it as well. I want to say Thor's in it.
Chris
Hemsworth. I think he's in it as well because he introduces the trailer, actually. So I think he's in it. A bunch of people's in it. Steve Buscemi's in it. Scarlett Johansson's in it.
Wow.
John Hamm's in it. So a whole bunch of people. It's going to be like, you know, it's very much aimed at young kids. This is like one of those animations. Yeah. So it's funny, you know, it's different to what we've seen before, but
it's a Transformers movie. Yeah. I mean, listen, look, they have to kind of keep that going, right? Otherwise, you know, the film rights and things. And wasn't there I'm pretty sure the Snake Eyes and Transformers universe, they collided, didn't they? The G.I. Joe and the Transformers universes.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. That's going to... Yes, you're right. At the end of the last Transformers.
And they joined up and there's going to be something going on, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's okay. I guess, in the works.
So keep it locked with us and we'll obviously let you know about all of that. Now, let's move on to Anniversary Corner. Now, this... We've chosen this specifically because there's a twist on this movie which is related to our main movie. So if you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino and George Clooney, that's not this movie. That's the first movie. So this is what I'm speaking about is the Dust Till Dawn universe. And Devout, I totally forgot about this, but there's like about four or five movies in this whole universe. And there was a TV show as well that they made. But this is Dust Till Dawn Part 2, Texas Blood Money. This is from 25 years ago, so 1999. And, I mean, look, it's kind of like continuing that kind of whole idea of vampires in this bar. I can't remember what's it called. I can't even remember what the name of that bar was. Some titty bar in some outback Mexican, one of the worst places probably ever. But it's one a place you go where you like to be forgotten, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So this one is 1999. So this is that makes it what? Yeah. That makes it 15 years. 25 years. Shit. 5 years. Yeah. So this one, like you've set up nicely, it kind of it's directed by someone called Scott Spiegel, but it's kind of presented by Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez. And this one stars a whole bunch of people. You got the T2, Terminator 2, Robert Patrick, he's in this. You got the gangster himself, Danny Trejo. You got Raymond Cruz, who we saw in. Was he in Breaking Bad? Saul. Yeah. Was in that. You've also got Bruce Campbell, Walking Dead, gangster veteran. Evil Dead. So you got him, he's in this. So yeah, this is very much in the same vein as Dust Till Dawn Part 1, but it's Part 2, and it's called Texas Blood Money. So... five career criminals gather in Mexico to pull off a bank heist, and they soon realize that they are up against something far more frightening than the police when they come across these, you know, vampire creatures and whatever. So it's all these bad guys getting together to rob someone or rob something, and then they realize, there's something worse around the corner. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of going through the whole Wikipedia thing, man. There's just like a whole universe attached to, you know, to this franchise and everything like that. And they even saying at some point they could actually even do like, you know, bring it back and kind of, you know, do a whole new movie, you know, which I know. Yeah. Just kind of forget about it. all right. Okay. So look, Anniversary Corner, Dust Hill Dawn Part 2, Texas Blood Money. Go check that out. And that leads us on to kind of, you know, the main movie, which is Abigail, which is a vampire movie. Now, listen, we watched a vampire movie very, very recently, which was something, The Voyage of the Demeter. Do you remember that one?
The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of love for, you know, vampiric movies. Just off the top of my head, there was Renfield, which I watched recently as well. There's What We Do in the Shadows. There's Interview with the Vampire. There's Lost Boys. There's, I mean, come on, man. There's just so many movies. It's a genre within the whole kind of horror, you know, genre. So,
yeah,
I like vampire movies if they're done well. You know, let the right one in, Deval.
If they're done well, that's, exactly. That's the caveat,
if they're
isn't
done
it?
Well. So with this one, Deval, you went out and watched this one. This is a brand new movie. Let us know your take on it.
Yeah, so this one, like we mentioned, does kind of lend to the previous film we just mentioned, Dust Till Dawn, Part 2, where a bunch of people, career criminals, or people that are trying to do something bad, are robbing something, and they come across something worse than the police. And this one, Abigail, is just that kind of movie. So Abigail, the premise is basically a bunch of criminals. So you got a bunch of criminals. The movie basically starts off as they're kidnapping this young girl. I think she's about 12. They're kidnapping her, organized crime. They've set it up really nicely. They kidnap her from this house. She's rich. So she lives in some sort of mansion. So she, you know, is basically guarded, but they get through the guards and stuff like that. They steal her in the night. And then they take her to another place that they've got arranged. And the person that arranged this whole kidnap is Gus Fring. So Giancarlo Esposito, is that his name? So he's the one that's arranged, organized this whole thing. And you've got the actual robbers. Dan Stevens is part of them. You've got Kevin Durand, who's part of them. You've got Augustus Cloud, who's passed away actually a while ago. He used to be in Euphoria. He's one of them. You've got Melissa Barrera.
Yeah, she was in Scream.
There you go. Yeah, so there you go. So you've got a bunch of people that are sort of, they've been hired to kidnap her. And they kidnap her. I think they're all going to share 50 million. So you've got some good money there. They kidnap her. They put her in a room. They handcuff her. And Bob's your uncle. Now they've got to watch her for 24 hours. That's what Giancarlo Esposito says. That's what Gus Fring says. So that's it. Easy as pie, isn't it? You know, he says, before he goes, he says, yeah, the kitchen's stocked and the bar is stocked. I'm thinking, why are you going to give them alcohol when they've got to do work? But anyway, so they've all got to do is stay in the house and that's it. Obviously, they're all different people. And also, the way they've set it up, a little bit like Reservoir Dogs, you can't, they don't know each other. They don't use real names, none of that. So it's all very, you know, organized crime-ish. So they do that now. Just the different personalities start to come out. You get to see who's who. Some of them don't like each other. They don't trust each other for sure. But only one of them is allowed to go in and check on the girl. And that's the lady in Scream, like you said. She's allowed to go in and check on the girl. She goes in there. And the girl's all crying. She says, oh, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. And she says to the girl, I promise you, no one's going to hurt you, blah, blah, blah. And then she takes the girl's cuffs from behind and lets the girl have the cuffs on the front because it's more comfortable. And she unblindfolds the girl. But before she does that, she puts a mask on her, like a COVID mask, so you can't see her full face. So then she, you know, calms the young girl down and then leaves the room. And then later on now, as everyone's sort of like, you know, talking, people aren't trusting each other, blah, blah, blah. They're like, who's her dad? Who's her dad? And like, no one knows who her dad is. No one knows. And then Dan Stevens gets a bit, you know, suspicious. Goes into the room now and he realizes she's not blindfolded. He's like, sort of thing. And then he sort of goes to her, don't look, don't look. Puts a gun in her face. Says, who's your dad? He says who her dad is. Yeah. Can't remember the name. Dad is meant to be a gangster. Almost like if you like the kingpin. If you took the kingpin's daughter.
Exactly.
You know, you're
like
dead.
Kaiser Soze. Like, you know, like he's like, you know, her dad like that.
So then he finds out, he goes down and tells the rest of them her dad is this person, and everyone's like, oh. Like their reaction tells you, because we don't know who he is, their reaction tells you that they're effed, and then one of the guys is like, okay, F the money, I'm gone. I'm gone, and he tries to leave. Door's locked. Door is locked. They're like, shit, and they're trying to find another way out of the house, and they're just panicking. No one wants the money anymore. Like, I would just give her back. They're like, no. And the scream girl says, okay, let's just last 24 hours. Let's just survive and, you know, whatever, we can get paid. And then you start to hear stories of what this guy's done to people. And then Dan Stevens' character says, oh, he heard a story of when they were like, these hitmen were beheaded, and they were like similar to what there's like what you hear about the cartel, what they do. Like, they were beheaded. Were mutilated, and they were like, shit, like, they're all scared. Okay, so that's the main sort of premise, and I'm not going to spoil the rest totally, but what I will say is, this is Abigail, and we know that vampire. We know that somehow, we know that. So they're in the house, there's I think there's six altogether, and bit by bit, you just know, one by one, they're gonna get eaten off.
Okay.
Somehow, she lets herself out of her cuffs. Obviously, she's a vampire. She's strong. Yeah. No one knows this. Then bit by bit, the first person's decapitated. And they're like, oh my gosh. So then they're thinking, oh shit, the rumors are real. Maybe one of the hitmen are in the house. We don't even know it. He's going to pick us off one by one. They're all panicked. They've got guns, by the way. They're fully armed, but still, they're shitting themselves. The one by one, they start to die. I think after the second person that... someone's buzzing the door. I think after the second person that dies, then the Abigail reveals herself.
See what,
basically,
who it is and who she is.
Yeah, they kind of go to her, and she just Abigails herself, and they're just like, ah. And then that's the first moment I sort of realized this is like a horror comedy. Because I didn't realize there's certain parts are a little bit funny before that, but then it's like, she's playing with them so much. I'm like, this is a horror comedy. Certain things that happen, and thinking, if this was a serious, serious film, that person wouldn't have reacted like that. Like, it's just a bit, someone's decapitated and they're making a bit of a joke. Sometimes it's just a bit like, I'm not saying the film is still entertaining. Once you realize what the film's tone is, you kind of accept it. And it's like, okay, this is it. Kind of entertaining, you know what I mean? So that's that. But yeah, I mean, Abigail, the little girl, she's a good actress. She does a good job. All the rest of them, they do reasonably good jobs and stuff like that. The house is almost like Saw. Think of Saw being trapped in a house. You can't get out, kind of thing. So
and
it's an entertaining film.
What about Giancarlo? What's he doing then?
Giancarlo, he's there at the start. He basically sets his thing up.
So
he tells them the rules.
He knows,
and then he's gone. I'm not going to spoil it totally.
Okay.
There was a twist. There was a twist. But he's gone for most of the film, and then he comes back towards the end. So he's hardly in the film.
Okay, so she picks them off one by one, and then...
Yeah. And then, it's just mad. It's mad. It's just mad.
Okay,
it's mad.
Okay.
It's a mad film. And you know what? Just like in Dust Till Dawn, there's a lot of blood. They go through liters of blood.
So it's gory. Yeah. Gory.
It's blood. Yeah. There's certain times where it's just, I mean, one of the main characters, she's Latina. But by the end of the film, you can't tell where she's from. You can't tell what color she is.
She's covered
nothing.
In blood.
She's just full of. Yeah. It's just literally that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, all right. So, is this worth catching in cinema, or is this waiting for streaming?
I would probably wait for streaming on this one.
Because this is Universal, I think.
I would probably streaming. Is it Universal? Okay.
And apparently they want to do a whole universe with this.
Okay. A whole universe? What are they going to do? How are they going to do
that? Because it's all part of their the Monsters universe. Yeah.
Yeah? What? Yeah, so like...
Yeah, and this, apparently, this is connected to that whole universe as well.
Is it? I had no idea. Yeah, okay.
Whether or not it happens, man, because look, I mean, we haven't... They've been talking about this kind of monster universe for University of Speaker for a while now, so... If it doesn't do well, you know, probably not. It might not happen, but it's just interesting the fact that they keep talking about this kind of universal monster universe thing. All right, so that is Abigail. Out of 10, Deval?
Out of 10, probably give this one 6.
6 out of 10. Okay, yeah, good. Interesting. All right, so listen, folks, if that is something that is up your alley, then go check it out. It'll find it at your local cinema. If not, you might want to wait. And Deval, we've got time for a hidden gem.
Yeah, so the last one, hidden gem. This is Let the Right One In. I'm going to speak a lot about this one. This one deserves to be seen with a bigger blank canvas as possible. And this is a, I want to say...
Is it Swedish?
Let me just double check. I want to say Swedish. It might be Danish. You know, you don't want to mix up your Scandinavians, you know? Don't want to do that.
And so, because someone will write in and let us know.
Yes, just like when you mix up your New Zealand and Australia. Exactly. You don't like that.
No, exactly.
Yeah, so this is, where was this film? This, okay, so 2008. Yeah. This film came out a while ago.
Swedish.
Countries of origin, Sweden. Yeah, there you go, Swedish. Yeah, I just noticed that as well. And this is a great vampire story. Good. This is a story of two young people who are just from different worlds. But then the worlds come together in just the most innocent way. And then, you know, through friendship, the one's bullied and stuff like that, and just trying to just be friends and understand themselves and connect on a human level. One's human, one is a vampire. And they connect in that way. And it's just a really, really delicate, well-made story. Yeah. One of the best vampire stories it's I've really ever good. Seen. Yeah, and they remade it. In an American version called Let Me In with Chloe Grace Moretz. Yes.
And I didn't know this, Deval, or I'd forgot about it, and it was directed by Matt Reeves.
Is it?
Matt Reeves directed that one.
Ah, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And Matt Reeves went on to direct the Batman. Well, you know, he's doing the Batman.
Yeah. Is it? I didn't realise. Okay, Matt Reeves. I'm surprised, you know.
So horror, so he's gone from horror-y to kind of, you know...
Planet of the Apes.
Well, Planet of the Apes, he did Planet of the Apes as well.
Yeah, okay, I didn't realise that. That's good information. Yeah. Okay.
But this one is definitely a hidden gem, right? Number one, because...
It's
a hidden gem. Reason being is because obviously it's not in English. So already people are going to be like, oh shit, it's not in English, I don't want to watch it. So it's a hidden gem for that reason. But how many times have we kind of... we've chosen movies where they might not be in the English language and there are hidden gems, but how many are vampire movies? We don't have that many, right, Deval?
Not many. I think there was that one by Byzantium.
Yes, Byzantium.
With Gemma Atterton.
That's it, with the two vampires on the run and, you know, they've been around. And then we saw that weird Swedish movie about the troll ones, you remember? It was a weird one.
Oh my gosh, troll.
No, is it Border?
Oh. Yes.
Do you remember that
gosh,
one? That was another kind of Swedish or Scandinavian movie as well, like another hidden gem, kind of weird one. But this one definitely, you know, it's been nominated, it's won awards. So good that they felt that they needed to do a remake, which obviously they did, but it didn't need it.
That's a good film. I think this one here, like you say, I think we do like hidden gems where it's not English as well, or, you know, like the common tongue, as some people say.
Yeah.
And it just makes it a bit more interesting because it's a different culture, you know? And I think movie telling isn't always through one lens, through one, you know, sort of history and background, but it's...
Absolutely.
It's been explored through different... societies, you get a different flavor, and I really like this one. So yeah, I definitely recommend this one more so than Abigail.
Well, there you go, folks. Look, you've got a hidden gem there. If you can track this one down on streaming or whatever, go check it out. We think you're going to really like it, and if you do watch it, please do let us know. All right, so that is the end of the show. We really, really hope you enjoyed it. And remember, folks, keep supporting us. Like, subscribe, send us a message, send us kind of like a tweet, send us a message on Instagram. Let us know what you're watching, what kind of movies that you want us to review. And we will definitely do that. We've got some other big movies to speak about.
Planet of the Apes is coming out soon. What else is coming out soon? Fall Guy, but I'm not too keen on that one, to be honest.
But definitely Planet of the Apes, definitely. That's going to be the other big one. And there's a few kind of like on streaming that have come out, man. And I'm like, shit, I've definitely got to watch this one. So yeah, there's a few, and you know, we already mentioned Rebel Moon, so we could obviously give that one a go as well.
Yeah, so got a lot to look forward
exactly. All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed it. Keep in touch and see you on the next one.
All right, peace out. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just pop in the Flicksters Podcast.